This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am a non-sick Beam.
Yeah, and I am a now not sick Bone. So sorry about last week. I got ill. Illadelph, PA, just right out of, it was bad.
Both ends, one end?
No, it was coughing. Okay. Coughing, and then it was sore throat.
Not
it
good
was,
when you're trying to talk into a microphone.
Yeah, and I couldn't sleep for a couple days. So it was just like trying to, and then, yes, couldn't take deep breaths. It was all, but still
glad
some,
you're all right.
Still some residual. No COVID, which okay. was good. Went and,
Novid.
I don't know, like, We got plenty of soccer stuff just to cover that we will talk soccer
if
in a second.
If we get there.
But just a moment on the, like, where we live in society. Where are you, how do you feel, Beam, when it's like you've got the, you're down with the sickness, you know it has COVID-like stuff. You know the responsible thing to do is to, like, get tested. But on the other side of that, you're like, well, if I go get tested and I pop, then I'm going to have to let people know, and then I'm probably going to have to miss time. And then I'm like, then all these other things happen.
We have, so I'll let you know, nasty, dirty little secret.
I'm just saying, I went to the doctor, I got tested, I was negative. But at the time I was like, oh man, if they come back and they're like, sorry, you can't go to work for like 5 days.
We have some like test strips at home.
Yeah.
And so when I'm feeling bad, and this has happened a couple of times where I'm like, let me just check and see what's going on
yeah,
here.
Right, right, yeah.
And so I haven't tested positive and
but like, you test yeah
but I test
I get you I yeah test. That's what I'm saying, like that's a responsible thing to do, and I don't think we should feel this way. I just have this, I'm the person who feels guilty on vacation where I'm like, is it okay that I'm gone from work? That's a me problem.
Oh,
that's
no a, see I'm totally yeah. opposite, like, you know what, blank this
no,
place
no, no,
I'm
no.
out of here, see you later, I'm not turning on my phone, I'm not responding to work emails, I don't care about the show.
Don't get me wrong,
I'm totally opposite in that.
Once my feet hit the ground in the new place, like if we're traveling
yeah.
or like in a few weeks I'll be traveling, and when like that will be different. I'm saying like it's the day of where I'm getting up and I'm getting out, we're getting out of the house, it's the first day where I'm not going to work, and it's like I took this off, right? Like they know I'm gone. They're going to be like, I just in my head. And then there's the whole, because of what we do on the air, it's like, all right, well,
I'm going to be replaced.
Yeah. It's like, it's Wally Pipp is happening yep. right now. Like it's just a, and again, that's not something that
Eric, you don't know who Wally Pipp is? Like an Aloy Room is happening right now. All right.
Like that. That's yeah, you just, the, another guy is going to come and take your spot. It's the kind of, you know, which is silly, right? Like, not that I don't think there aren't talented people or anything, but it's like,
yeah.
we have contracts. We have negotiated for this. They know when we work here, we're like,
you have
that's
earned
all good.
Your time off.
Well, yeah, and it's just, but yet there's still this residual in the back of my head. Like, am I sure? Are we sure it's okay that I'm gone? And then after like a day, I'm like, oh yeah, it's great. I'm
as soon
totally
as I
okay.
get off the air at 9 a.m., and I have days off the next day. I mean, I'm blowing doors out of here. Absolutely blowing doors.
Well, that's why, like, when I get sick, it's also bad because then I get, like, the mental health side of, like, oh, and I, like, I, again, it's main character syndrome. It's a terrible character flaw of mine. I know that. Everybody here probably was just like, oh, good. He's not here for a day. We can get some stuff done. It's fine. But in my head, I was like, I'm letting everyone down.
You let the podcast listeners
down. No, but it's, but I know that that's just how life is, right? We go through it. So anyway, just
glad
know
you're feeling better.
I was beating the crap out of myself at home for being sick,
good,
which
should.
Is probably not the, it's not healthy.
No, it's not.
I talk to someone
you need to
about
stop
that.
Doing that.
I know.
Let's talk
know
it out right here.
That's right.
That's what we're here for. In front of everybody.
That's why white guys get podcasts. It's just so we can work out our yeah. things because we don't go to therapy.
Right.
That's exactly why we get it. Yeah. That's
correct. Our outlet is soccer.
I've understood that. Yes.
So I know your daughter just turned 5 yesterday.
Yes, she did.
Was usually soccer podcasting day, and we're waffling between Wednesdays and Thursdays right now. I might just be like that.
Yeah, we had a Wednesday game last night with the crew. It worked better for your schedule to do Thursday, so it's like, we're just going to, yeah.
Just pick a day.
just know this. If you wait till Friday every week, you'll either have a podcast or you won't.
Yeah.
Like last week where there just wasn't one, but there should be one every week.
So big happy fifth birthday.
Yeah, Abigail, your daughter. No, that's, Abigail turned 5.
Meredith had a birthday this week as well. Her birthday was on Tuesday.
Happy birthday, Meredith.
Yep, so it's birth week for us, which was nice. But yeah, we're in with Willie right now. We're in like hyperfixation mode where we're just doing stuff over and over and over and over and over again.
Yes. You do the thing gets a reaction and then he wants it done 100 times in a row.
So now our hyper reaction of the week is gnomes. He just loves gnomes.
Okay.
So Eric, neighbor Eric has gnomes who he used to keep in his backyard. And I don't know if his wife Ruth told him to move them because she didn't like looking at them, but now they reside on the side of his house, which directly faces our house, which is a good spot for a gnome, right? Like nobody can see them except for us.
Yes.
And then, them when they leave their
family,
driveway.
Your known gnome lovers.
Yeah. And
beams.
So the other day, like William has started to get enough like pace with he walks. Like we'll walk a couple of blocks with him, like just down and back.
Yeah.
And he'll point at everything he sees. Mailman, ball, tree, bird, you know, all these different things. Except he's really locked in on these gnomes now, where it's gotten to the point, like, every time that we're outside, he goes to, like, our back gate, and to get into the driveway, gnome. I'm like, yep, there are gnomes over there. So, now we open the gate, he walks and sees the gnomes, won't touch the gnomes, doesn't like to...
He just wants to look at them.
He just wants to look at them. Okay. He'll sit on, like, on their stairs right next to them, and
we'll,
like, look and, like, point at them, be like, gnomes? Like, yeah, that's gnomes, but won't. Like,
really?
Won't touch him. And then inside of our house, he has realized that these windows that we have look out to the gnomes.
Oh, it's
so
starting to come together.
Every time he passes a window, gnome, where you had to lift him up so he can see him, that they're still there. And he scatters away for like 3 minutes and then comes back. Gnome, pick him up. It's like that's our hyper fixation of the week is gnomes.
I'm laughing because I'm remembering and it's good. It's so. Just, yeah, those are the days. Those are fun days. Those are stressful days at times because you're just like, again, with the gnomes or whatever the thing is.
Like
but
I respected gnomes before this week. Now I hate gnomes.
Oh, I know, right? You'd be amazed. That's why I feel like people need to understand with parents, not that we aren't all going through stuff, but like when you're at a store and you see a parent who's just letting their kid hold an apple in their hand for some reason, they're like eating the apple and you're like, I don't think they're supposed to do that. They should have to pay for that. It's like, just shut up. Just like you don't know how many apples they've gone through.
I've got
with this
main
house.
Character syndrome. Leave me alone.
Like I'm just saying, you don't know what's happening with their apple situation. That might be the only way that kid doesn't scream his head off in the store for 20 minutes so they can get their shopping done. Just let them live, is all I'm saying, on the apples or whatever it is. Like, so if you guys were stopped at a store and you saw gnomes and you're just standing there and people are like, oh my God, why are these people just in the middle of the aisle with the gnomes? It's like, what could you don't know? Willie loves gnomes.
It's his favorite thing in the whole world.
They don't know what you're going through right now.
Every day is the best day of his life, which is awesome.
That's
it's
good.
Like great
That's
to
the way
watch.
It should be.
It's unbelievable to watch.
When does it flip?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Because someday I think we all hit where it was like, it's no longer that. It's
I think
no
mine is
that.
When I told you I realized that every day wasn't about me.
Yes.
Like where I'm like, okay, you get into like college and you have some like responsibilities. Like I got to do this today. I got to do that today. Like where it's like 90% of the time is still about you and everything is about you. And then you get out of college and then you get a job and maybe that drops down to like 75% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get married and then you get a dog and a little more responsibilities. And it's like, maybe it's like 50% of the time. Then you have a kid and it's one day a year. You get one day and it's your birthday and that's it. That's all you get.
That's right. You look around and you're like, when did it? None of it become about. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Which is
now
great because now every day is the best day of his life. But
yes,
I think
it
that's
is.
When it flipped for me.
Yeah, it's still good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's just I'm a 42-year-old man and I'm still adjusting to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. But yeah, like yesterday for Abby's birthday, it was a great day. She was like the queen of her little world. Everywhere she went, people were wishing her happy birthday. Today, she's like, so can I have my birthday again? And it's like, no.
Next year.
No, that's this next year you get one, but you got to wait a year. And she's just like, well, I want to do it again today, though. And it's like, sorry, kid. Like, that was her little realization of, oh, hang on. Today is not, I won't be the special princess birthday girl now today. I'm just.
You'll always be daddy's special princess.
Well, of course. Well, she's one of three. So, which the other two remind me of constantly. They're all, now the other two are like, which one's your favorite?
And how
like,
would you power rank your kids, Bone?
Well, all right, we're gonna
one,
go
two,
with,
and three. That's how I'd rank them.
We're going to go with able to wipe their own ass. That's high. So the first two are doing well in
you
that
know,
regard.
I had the realization, too, the other day. Like, you don't realize this as parents. And sorry this if you fast forward through this.
That's fine.
You
go
don't
ahead.
Like kids' stories. But
it's okay.
You don't realize, like, you come and go through stages, and then you don't realize you're out of it until you're out of it. And this is such a small thing. Like, he wasn't feeling really great this week, so, like, we give him some Tylenol. And usually, like, we use the syringe, and we put it in there, and, you know, like, basically, like, you're just hand-feeding him like
you
would
a bottle. For those who don't know, like, children's Tylenol is in liquid form. You don't give your kids just, like, pills.
Yeah. So you pour it into a little cup. It says how many, like, milliliters it is, and then you take the syringe, and you put it in there, and then you basically give it to him.
Yeah.
So the other day he wasn't feeling really good, and I'm like, oh, where's the syringe at? I'm like, yeah, he's old enough to, like, drink it out of the cup, like the little just cup that it comes in, the little plastic cup. I'm like, let me just do this. And so he just drank it out of the cup, and Mary goes, not using a syringe? I'm like, couldn't find the syringe. She goes, did he drink it? I'm like, yeah. She goes, well, that part of our life is now over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah,
it's done.
I'm like, didn't click until we did that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, that part is, and it was kind of weird. It's kind of weird. Like, that stage is now done.
Yeah, that is. You know what? It's almost like you don't know what the good times are. You don't know when it's going to end. Right. Which takes us to the Columbus Crew, because you never
Great
know.
Pivot.
You never know when those good times. You got them. You enjoy them. You live in the moment.
Next 50 years going to be all.
That's
this.
Right. That's right. I hope so. But that's right. Like, that's exactly how life works. And so it's very good realization by you, Beam. Well, this has been a fun little dad talk here.
Yeah.
Now we'll get on to the soccer stuff. But thank you all for humoring us on that. The Crew, they got it done in the midweek against Toronto.
Trillium Cup is ours, baby.
I know. Remember when that was a trophy that was like, hey, well, I mean, it never really was, but we tried to make it a thing. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that there was. This was, I mean, again, when they introduced the Trillium Cup, I was like, well, at least we have some kind of rivalry. It was stupid and contrived. It was a Mark McCullough's creation. But at least it was something we had. But now I don't even care. It's like, I want to win it, but who cares?
Does it even exist? Like, is it?
I don't know what they've done with the trophy. It did exist. I drank a beer out of it once from Frankie Haydick pouring it for us. So, I mean, back
story.
In the day. Yeah. Toronto.
Do you think we could get the Trillium Cup just to live in our podcast room?
I would love to. You know what? I will say that to anyone listening with the Crew. We want the Trillium Cup here.
If you're like, not going to display it, if it's in like a...
Well, I just mean for like a day. Let us have a day with the Trillium Cup. Let us walk around with it. The week before the Toronto game next year, let us have it like for a day. Let us all show people like, hey, we got this.
It's
is ours.
It's like the Illabuck.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. It's just a rivalry trophy that you have. So give us that for a day. Just for a day. Yeah. We'll give it back. Maybe let us drink some beer out of it. Maybe. I mean, who has gotten to drink beer out of a trophy before?
Not me.
Right. Very few people have ever gotten to do that. So that's one of those where you should take that out to the bar and be like, yeah, anybody can drink out of this. This is the Trillium Cup. It's not, you know, we're not giving the MLS Cup.
Right.
I understand you're maybe not, you got that with a white glove treatment, all that, but this trophy,
we're
going to
have a handful of them in a few years though. So,
well, I hope so. Let's go. Let's go. But in the meantime, the Crew get it done. 2-0 up in Toronto. Nice victory there.
Just immediately reaction to this, because last night we were at a birthday dinner. So I missed the first half. Saw Rossi get subbed off like as halftime was ending. Cucho comes in. I'm like, he's just the best player on the field.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know you got Bernardeschi and his awesome hair. But I'm like, I can't. Like, Cucho's just on a different plane. Different plane.
Yeah, the ever-present John Zidar, who hosts a separate podcast, Aces Radio. Go check it out.
And they will tell you that it will suck.
No, but you know what? It doesn't. It's actually great.
It's terrific.
Yeah, but also of Save the Crew fame, among other things. He had a nice tweet last night about Bernardeschi's hair, and he basically said, this man has no friends. No one who's like a 30-year-old man.
34-year-old Italian guy can wear
should
hair.
Be wearing their hair like that without, like, if you had a friend, they would be like, dude, come on, stop. You're not. Don't wear that. What are you doing? But you're right. Cucho was the best player on the field. Yep. Instantly came on, and 6 minutes into his time on the field, scores a great goal. And you said it right. You were like, you can't give him even an inch of space like that.
Even Sean Johnson was in net, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he was in net for Toronto. I'm like, he was hugging that post pretty close too. Like he probably should have stopped that, but he put it in a place where he couldn't. Like
from
23, 24
years. That's how good he is, man. He's a world-class player that we are lucky to have in Columbus. And I do think when I say world-class, I guess what I mean is maybe I'm wrong. Do you think he could beat out some guys and start on a team that could win a European league?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying that he would be a premier starter on a Champions League level team.
I don't think he's starting over like Erling Haaland.
No, but I'm not saying he would go out and be the number one striker on a team that has a chance to win Champions League. I am saying he could be a regular featured player on a team that competes for their league's title in a top flight European league.
Absolutely. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
Now, will he get that shot? No.
I think he loves Columbus too much.
Well, I think he embraces it. I think he loves it. But I also just think there's something about in soccer where it's like, yeah, but are we going to want to do that? If this guy has the same skill set as a 23-year-old, and what is Cucho now, 26 or 27? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not – Europe's not going to pay for the same skill set. They're going to want to bank on the 23-year-old because you have more years with him. But, yeah, Cucho's a guy who I have no doubt could go – like, he could go play for a top team in England, France, Germany, Spain, Italy. Yeah.
Wherever. Yeah.
Yeah, he could go and be a good player.
He'll be 26.
Okay, still, yeah. I'm saying we have a guy like that. That is still just fascinating to me that we got him. So just appreciate it is what I'm saying.
In the league, he is on the player traits on FotMob. So the player trait charts highlights a player's statistical strengths and weaknesses in comparison to similar players. Each stat is adjusted per 90 from matches in the last 365 days. Players are then compared to positional peers from similar leagues and placed into percentile ranking. For example, a player with a 90 percentile ranking on chances created means that they create more chances than 90% of the players in their position in similar leagues. Cucho's how you see the graphs, basically like the wheel chart. Cucho's chances created is in the 99th percentile. His touches are in the 98th percentile. His shot attempts are 100%, which means he is the best.
Yes.
At that. And his goals percentage is 95%.
Jeez. That's incredible. Yeah, you have an all-timer here in Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
We can gush about Cucho. We've done it often, but yeah, just know that is exactly what you're paying for is for that guy. And I love the celebration after with the little quarterback, throw. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that, but I thought that was a nice little touch. I'm like, at first I wasn't sure what he's doing. And I'm like, oh, it's like he's doing American football. It's like, hey, maybe Jimmy Haslam. You know, that money you spent on your quarterback, maybe you should spend it on this dude instead.
Maybe that was a message to management.
I want paid like a quarterback. Good for you.
Are we reading too much into that?
I like it.
No.
No, you know what, though? Pay that man his money. To quote the dude from the movie Rounders. Why am I blanking on Teddy KGB?
Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, so that was a nice victory. Now, I didn't skip over Cincinnati on purpose. Figured we'd start with the most recent game and then work our way back. So, Crew get that victory, and then we go back to the few days before. The one you want, hell is real. You go down to Cincinnati. It's a 0-0 draw.
Had your chances?
I think they had the best chances of that game. They probably should have had at least two goals out of that game. I'm not saying they would have won it 2-0, but they should have had two goals out of that game. Cucho had one that was I shouldn't say he had one. He had two gilded assists that neither of them got put away. I think Rossi missed one of them, and
Jason Russell Rowe.
I feel like maybe missed the other. You could be right on that. Either way, he had two within the first 20 minutes that should have, one of them should have gone in by the, whoever, and I think it was Rossi's that was like just a all time type of miss. Yeah. And that's nothing against Rossi, good player, love having Rossi, but that's what I love about Cucho, how he moves, he gets himself out of situations where normally you would picture him as a nine or a false nine or whatever you want to call him. Like, you don't think he's going to make some of these plays.
He's just an advanced playmaker is what he is.
Yeah, it is. I don't know that positionless soccer is always the right term for that, but he almost plays like a positionless forward where he's just wherever you need him to be to make a play, he's going to find his little slot and do that. He's going to make some great passes for you. He is now, with the goal last night, he also had the assist on, which we didn't talk about. Andres Herrera got his goal going back to the Toronto game. Andres Herrera, the lone E from River Plate. So nice to see him notch a score, even though it was kind of a bungled defensive effort by Toronto. He was right there. The ball just fell to him, and he finished it.
Goal stands.
Yeah. But with the assist last night, Cucho, well, I think he already had this. Last night was his 11th assist, 14th goal. Cucho is now the only player in Crew history to have back-to-back seasons of double-digit 10-plus goals and assists in two consecutive years. So that is, again, maybe you could say, well, why haven't we ever had that before? I don't know, but that we do now. We have this guy, but that shows you how talented and good he is.
Fun fact also about the Crew last night, now they have more wins on the road than they do at home this season.
Yeah, that is.
Seven wins at home, eight so far on the road.
Go back. I don't want to, I'm not trying to like speak ill of previous coaches because this guy won us a cup, right? But go back to the Caleb Porter era and tell that fan base, hey, in a couple years, you're going to have more wins in the season on the road than at home. And then, by the way, it's not like at home, you're just getting your doors blown off and this is like some aberration. This is,
and by the way,
you're still one of the best teams in MLS at home.
And you're going to be, have played 28 games and have allowed 28 goals, and you're going to be one of the highest scoring clubs in the league.
Oh, it's it's everything you want from your team.
It is. Like, it's everything you want.
Yeah. And I was thinking about how the
Seattle game. Don't worry about the Seattle.
No, you know what? That's again, and that one sucks because that number should be a giant. The number's better than what that Seattle game is now allowing the stats to be. You're still this with all that Seattle BS, which should never have happened. But I'm just saying that's where you're at. You should be a team that has even better statistical numbers than that because of that horrible decision by MLS to not let the Crew have a backup goalkeeper on the roster, which is a joke. Anyway,
just remember, a friendly against Astonville accounts for league games.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
Why? It makes no sense. So whatever. That whole thing aside, I was thinking about the Crew season, and I'm curious to hear what you think about this, Beamer, because I feel like we can break down minutia X's and O's on certain things with the rest of this season, but. You know, the Crew are sitting, what, I think 10 points behind Miami. Miami's going to win the Supporters' Shield.
They won last night. Messi came in, right?
Yeah, he came in. I think they tied Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think they won.
Okay.
I think maybe they were tied when he came in. I think they drew the game. I don't think they won it. But in either case, they have one game in hand over the Crew have a game in hand over them. They are on 63 points. The Crew, I believe, are on 53 with last night's victory.
2-2 draw.
Yeah. And so Cincinnati sits on 55. Obviously, if you'd gotten the 3 points against them, we know where that would have put the Crew. But still, you still have a game in hand. So here's the reality. The Crew, I think at this point, if you want to fight for seeding with Cincinnati for that second spot, that's fine. The Crew's season, because we know what they are. They are one of the best teams in MLS. They have all the talent to win MLS Cup. And they're the defending champs. They have every like pedigree, reason to all that. Like, they should not be counted out at all. Their season's going to come down to about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And what I mean is there's going to be a handful of minutes against Miami where you're going to have to, like, there's going to be a handful of chances where you're going to have Messi. He's going to be in a spot to kill you, and you have to stop him.
And you have to not die.
Yeah, right. You have to avoid it. And then similarly, you are going to have three or four chances against them, against Cincinnati, against whoever else, but probably those two, and then whoever you play if you can get to MLS Cup.
Here's my
like,
goal.
That's, you have to finish those. Like, you cannot have that Cincinnati, those couple chances in the first 20 minutes that happened with Cucho. You cannot miss those. You can't do that against those teams. You have to be better than that. And I'm not saying that means, like, they suck or anything. I'm just saying that's where the season is made. It doesn't mean if they don't do that, they suck, they were awful. It means that's basically what your season comes down to, is those 20 minutes.
Here, yeah, and I understand your point totally. And again, I'm not worried about it in the way that it happened and unveiled itself in Cincinnati, because we've seen it before. We saw it last year. We've seen this team in big moments have, like, generate those chances and actually, like, fulfill those chances. So I'm not worried about that. What I would be worried about, and what my main goal, like, likelihood that you're going to catch Miami for the number one seed, like, that's dead. It's, like, you're not going to get there.
The math's not there.
You want to jostle with Cincinnati for home field throughout the playoffs and the two seed? Cool. I'm fine with that. What I would be looking at here, and I'm not like a big proponent of like scoreboard watching or like table tallying, but I would try your damnedest to finish above every West Coast team.
Yeah, right. That's there. I think LA Galaxy 55. Right now are on 55. So you're right. It does come down to that should be. Yeah, that's a great point. you don't want a scoreboard watch, to your point, but
1-1,
yeah.
Guys.
Well, it's all about. I mean, look, Rossi gets subbed off at halftime. Cucho comes in at halftime. You are managing minutes because of the amount of ridiculous number of games you have to play.
Yeah, you're managing minutes, but also at the same time, you're trying to stay in form and get back into form and peak at the right time.
That's what I'm saying, is the amount of like 4D chess that Wilfried Nancy has to do here with Orlando City is not that, you know, that's a road game this weekend, am I wrong?
Home game.
It is home game. Okay, my bad. Well, that's good. But still, that's, you know, an Eastern Conference opponent. You got to get 3 points out of that. I'm just saying, that's one that you have to figure out. All right, like, we need everybody for that game. But then also you have Campeones Cup, where you have a chance to win a trophy.
Which also
you
have a chance to possibly get you into the Club World Cup. But we still don't know about that.
We don't know what the rules are, but you'd
They're
like to have that.
They're going to throw the book at Club America. They're going to run out their best lineup. They
of
should.
Of course. I would hope so. Yeah. But, like, that's – so what I'm saying is you have to find ways to – and they did last night. They managed the lineup. They got 3 points on the road. Come home, take care of business on Saturday. You have to do that. Home fans need to see that, too. We need to reward the fans with a good performance there. And then you go out and hopefully you hoist a trophy next midweek. I'm just saying – then you have to look at, like you said, point totals for everybody else, and you're looking at, you know, how you manage your guys. I don't blame them if they, let's say they get clear of Cincinnati, and let's say Cincinnati drops a game somewhere unexpectedly, and suddenly you're like 5 points clear of Cincinnati with three to play. I could then see you looking at it and going, all right, if we win this game, the last two or whatever, like we're going to manage minutes, we're going to, that's where you're at now. But also, like you said, keeping that LA thing or whoever else takes the lead there in the West, keeping that in the front viewpoint is not a bad idea, because you don't want to have to, I would prefer you not have to travel for MLS Cup. I think whoever hosts MLS Cup is probably going to win it.
I think they have a great advantage, no doubt. Would I feel confident with a crew going on the road and getting a win in MLS Cup in a one-off?
Well,
yeah, sure. I'd feel much better if the game was at home, though.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I guess I shouldn't say whoever hosts is just going to win it, no doubt. Because you're right, the crew could obviously go on the road, but I'd feel a lot better about it, as
most fans
would.
So here's the run-in after Club America. So you got 5 games left to go in the season after that. You've only got 6 to go in MLS. Here's the run-in. So after the Club America game, after Campeones Cup next week, you got DC on the road. Then you're at home for a 3-pack of games, which is awesome. You get Inter Miami. And then it's a quick turnaround home against Philadelphia. You get a full week off before you bring in New England. Then you finish the season on the road against New York. Ideally, decision day, by the time you get to New York, like, I think you want to be chilling and having your guys getting ready to go for the
playoffs. Well, that's right. Yeah, and I think, like, if you want to have your guys go out for the first 45 in that or something, just to get some run, and then – but, yeah, I mean, you got to just – It's all about managing minutes and finding ways to keep everyone ready and fresh. And it's also keeping that hunger there. It's also not burning these guys out. Hell, in Spain right now, I mean, you've got players talking about maybe we should strike because the amount of games they're playing.
I don't blame them.
I'm saying the crew are one of the few teams that are playing that level of games in MLS because of all the other competitions they've been in. And that's the beauty of winning. But there is a factor of burnout. And always it's tough to do that repeat thing when it comes to winning a second trophy, because the hunger to win the first one, well, now you've done it. So now you have, it's not about proving a concept anymore. It's about showing that you can grow from the 9,900% level you were at. How do you eke out just a little bit better than that? But you're right. That schedule, getting basically DC, Philly, New England, New York, these are not like these could all, I mean, they could be tough games, but those are games that it's the Miami game's your toughest one of that mix. And at that point, too, it may not really matter that much.
Yeah.
You know, as far as it'll matter from a pride standpoint, you want to win the game. And I'm sure if Messi's healthy, the amount of fans and, you know, the interest in that game is going to be through the roof. Right. I can't imagine what the tickets will cost if he is officially good to go because of all the, you know what I mean? The injury history, you never know. But that is, I mean, seeing Lionel Messi play in a 20,000 seat stadium.
Be sweet.
I mean, people all around the world who have watched Messi's games for years can say, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
There are people over in Europe who've watched dozens of his games who would never say, I could see Messi play in that small venue.
It's like getting to see Jack White perform at, like, the Newport.
Yeah. Or even smaller, at the Basement or something. Yeah. You know, just like, hey, there's this dude who's played arenas, and now he's just here, like, right in front of us. All right. So let's talk about a guy also with some international interest. That is your new head coach of the U.S. national team. Mauricio Pochettino takes over for the men's side of the national team. And, of course, he had press conference. He was talking. He had a lot of nice quotes there about different things that I think a lot of U.S. fans have wanted to see for a while. But one of the things that kind of seemed like a theme of his comments, at least from what I saw, was him basically saying, if you play well, we're watching.
Good.
Yeah, if you do your thing, we will see it. We are looking for that. He talked about how, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was essentially something to the effect of, we want you to have not just the expectation that you want to be good, but that you want to be the best, and that it's not an unrealistic thing to want that. And I just think these are the...
Here's the thing.
These are the messages I want to hear.
Do you and I, and most fans of the U.S. men's national team, think that they can win a World Cup? No. Do we think that they're going to win a World Cup? No. Is it nice to hear a coach come in and say, our belief when we get into camp and get ready for the World Cup is to win it?
Yeah.
Why plan it if your goal isn't to win the whole thing? You know, we can have our standards and we can have our expectations. Like, I think getting to the last eight would probably be a really good cup run for this team in 2 years' time. We actually have a head coach to coming out and say, like, we want to win the World Cup. We believe that we can win the World Cup. Like, and as a player, hearing that and actually, like, putting that into the ether, all right, I'm in.
This is what I wanted from the national team job, and this is why I love this hire. Here's the quote he said. We need to really believe in things, in big things. We need to believe that we can win, that we can win not only a game, we can win the World Cup.
Yeah.
We want players that arrive on day one in the training camp thinking big. That is the only way to create this philosophy or this idea altogether and to perform and to really put your talent in the service of the team. Belief, for me, it's a word that is a powerful word. You can have enormous talent. You can be clever. But in football, you need to believe. And I think there's just something bigger with that. I have for years thought it's got to be U.S. soccer has to progress past the point, and I hope for some of the players they have, where when they walk out on the field and they see a Lionel Messi, right? When they see some of these guys that they've probably watched growing up. Now, Christian Pulisic has played against these dudes, right? Yeah. Some of these dudes have now done that. But if you walk out on the field and you go, oh, my God, there's the guy who used to play in a video game.
You're dead.
Right. You have to walk out there going, they've never seen me. Like that, and I wonder how much of that mentality is actually there on the team. And I feel like a guy like Ponch, if he comes to you and says, you are as good as anyone I've ever coached, doesn't that carry some weight?
Of course it does.
A little different than maybe some of the other coaches. And this is going, I'm going back to Bruce Arena. Bruce Arena never coached guys at the level that Ponch has. That doesn't mean that he's a better coach than Bruce Arena. He may not be. Bruce Arena is the greatest U.S. national team coach we've ever had. Like him or lump him, his record is unquestionably the best. But having someone who can instill that belief in players who are under 25 years old, that is something that you need right now. And I feel like Ponch is uniquely positioned to do that from the guys that were available to him. So yeah, I think they have a great chance.
I'm just excited to kind of watch that system grow.
Yeah, it's got to. I
told you, going back to Copa, like, my interest in the national team was so low.
I know, man. It was so low.
You got to that game against Uruguay, and I'm like, I'll watch, but I know what's coming down the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I feel revitalized. I feel refreshed now. Maybe I'll be beat down bad over the next 6 months. I don't expect that to happen. I expect that it will look pretty good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm a little revitalized and refreshed with knowing that there's going to be a new person in charge. And I think if you would have done that with Jesse Marsh, I would have been the same way. It just, it had to be someone else.
Well, yeah, of all the things that I think, if we're looking at the positives of Ponch's record and what he brings to the table, it's the fact that he has coached at such a high level and coached players that he's coached guys who have been on $100 million contracts.
It's a hard thing to do.
Not that means that he's the best or anything. It just means he's got that ability to look someone in the face and tell them something that he has to convince someone to believe something when they are already being told, I'm the best in the world.
Yeah.
He now has guys that he can say, hey, I've coached those guys, and I see in you, I don't care what the world sees in you. I don't care what they pay you in the transfer market, you know, all that. I know that you are better than this guy.
Or you're not better than this guy, and we're going to give someone else a shot.
Well, and right, and here's what it takes to get there if you're not that guy.
Right.
Because that's the other part of it. You're exactly right. They had a guy in Greg Berhalter who told them how great they were all the time. And that had its mixed results for sure. But they will need, some of the players need the opposite, right? They need someone who can come in and say, you're not getting the job done. And I don't care that you've been the boy genius for the last 7 years. Everyone said, oh, when this guy gets up, just wait. You're not getting the job done now, so sorry. And I know Berhalter did that with Reyna, as we know. That was one of the big, you know, we obviously don't need to rehash all that. No. But that needs to also be on the table if Christian Pulisic's not getting the job done. That needs to be on the table if Weston McKennie comes in and isn't, like, ready to go at training camp for a big tournament, like, next summer. Then that needs to be a thing. And I feel like Ponch is going to have a lot more sway to do that than, say, some of these other coaches.
I think it's 1 through 11. It's fair game. It's open competition. I've got no preconceived notions about anybody. We're scouring. We're looking. And the best 23 or the best 18 are going to make the team here.
That's
and we're
going
to give everybody their fair shake. Aiden Morris, look at him.
Yeah,
like, right in the mixer.
He should be. If you want someone who can win the ball and make plays for you and be smart with it, I'm with you on that. We'll take a break. We come back. The guy who Ponchettino replaced is back in a coaching position. We will talk about that next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
I'll just say the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
As always, you can tweet the program at Bone Beam United. So Greg Berhalter now has a job. He is back in Major League Soccer. He is getting the reins in Chicago.
Yes, he is. Guillermo Rivera saying accurate. This report coming from a couple of days ago. The Fire believe that they're close on Berhalter. Nothing signed yet on his side, though. And Guillermo said accurate. Nothing done yet. Fire been in discussions with Berhalter for several weeks. Would have complete control of soccer operations. But Mancetto would like to keep some of the technical stuff on the board. A technical director / GM or similar title would work. Waiting game now. And then Matthew Doyle, who does a really good job covering everything, said local Chicago Fire press reporting that the team's close on a deal with Greg Berhalter to come in essentially as next coach and new CSO next year, basically the Peter Vermees rule.
Okay.
He said, I'd mentioned this on MLS a few times that it was the likeliest outcome. So, yes, it does seem that
he'll end up
Triple G is going to be back.
Yeah, so he's not back yet, but he will be back theoretically soon is the idea. And Chicago has been so bad for so long. I mean,
really bad.
Well, yeah, when they came into the league in 98, they right away won, was it, I think they won the Open Cup that year. Maybe they won MLS Cup too. They came out firing on all cylinders. And then they have had some years where they were very, very good. But I'm guessing the majority of people who listen to our podcast probably don't remember, unless you remember when the Crew played them in 08 with Brian McBride and, they had Cuauhtemoc Blanco back then. They had all these dudes. They were one of the best teams in MLS. You had to go through them to get to MLS Cup. Those days are long gone. That's over 15 years ago. That's a long time.
So I quickly Googled Chicago Fire seasons by year.
Yeah.
First thing that popped up, the seasons of the NBC TV series Chicago Fire by year are this. I'm like, no, I want
to. Yeah, by the way, don't lecture. The amount of times where it's been like, well, maybe the Crew should change their name. Maybe this team should change their name. The Chicago Fire should change their name because that's it. Like, in the moment of MLS, it was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Chicago, like, they had a Fire. Remember that? They're the Fire. And they used to have, and I guess they've kind of gone back to it now because they had their stupid rebrand, that, like, cool fire truck-looking logo thing. That was nice. But the reality is that is a brand that in Chicago, it's like the Chicago Fire? You mean the actual historical event? No? Oh, you mean the TV show about? Oh, you mean the soccer team?
Soccer team.
Yeah, that's right.
So I found their year by year. So let's go back with the Chicago Fire.
Mm-hmm.
34 games played last year, 10 wins, finished 24th.
Blah.
2022, 34 games played, 10 wins, finished 24th. 2021, 9 wins, 22nd. 2020, 5 wins, 22nd. 2019, 10 wins, 17th. 2018, 8 wins, 20th. 2017, 34 games played, 16 wins, 3rd. Only got through round one, made it to the first round.
So they made it to the playoffs, and that's been now 8 years ago?
Since the turn of 2010, they have qualified for the playoffs two times.
Jeez.
They have finished in 20th or worse one, two, three, four, six times.
That's brutal, man. Yeah, and I'm guessing the last time they made it to a conference final was 08.
When they played the Crew. 2008. Yeah, semifinal. And the year after, 09.
Oh, they did. Oh, in the 09. Okay. Yep. All right. Fair enough. But that's, yeah, that's.
But that's the recent years.
Yeah. And that,
multiple
again,
badge changes, multiple stadium changes.
Well, yeah, because they were in Toyota Park or whatever they were calling that at the end. And now
Bridge Park.
Yeah. Well, that's
Bridgeview.
Bridgeview Park is here.
Yeah.
Bridgeview is where that stadium that they were in is located. But now that's
Soldier Field.
They're at Soldier Field now, right?
Yeah.
That's where they're playing. And it's, I'm sure they're selling that place out every night.
Oh, they're packing it to the gills. 60,000.
Dude, what a, yeah. So, I mean, one, Greg should be very familiar with Chicago. That's where U.S. Soccer is based out of. That's I don't know if that's where you, I think that's where most of these coaches end up living.
I'm pretty sure he was there.
Yeah, so, like, it'll be, you know, something where he can just kind of go back to where he's familiar with. He can stay there, and then he can try to fix Chicago. The reality is that is one of the toughest jaw lifts. I don't know how you fix it without, I mean, I do know how you fix it. The simple answer is you get someone who owns the team who will let you spend the money.
Who owns them? Do you know?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's their ownership group has not been very good. They don't.
Joe Mansueto.
Okay. Yeah, I don't.
Founder, a majority owner, and executive chairman of Morningstar Inc., owner of Chicago Fire and FC Lugano in Switzerland.
All right. So he owns another soccer team, but they have not, they need to spend money and they need to spend it intelligently. I guess I shouldn't say they need to spend money. They have spent on players. That's probably wrong of me to say that. They tend to do it to bring in, you know, Bastian Schweinsteiger, and it's like, great, but
Sheridan Shaqiri.
Yeah, you sell.
Which he's been pretty good.
He has been pretty good, but like, but then you don't have any support around. You don't build the rest of it.
Sebastian, how excited are you for the possibility of winning the World Cup?
Yeah, you also may need it.
That's an all-time. Well,
you know what they need to do, though? If I'm them, and again, I'm not saying that everybody likes this. what I'm about to say, this group of people. I'm talking about how do you market this thing? If I'm the Chicago Fire, I call up Mark Titus and the Barstool Chicago thing tomorrow, and I say, guys, we want you to come over and let's talk.
Whatever you want to do.
What do you want to do? Like,
yeah,
we want you to, would you like to come to games more often?
I need people just to talk about us.
Yeah, but don't try to, like, convince the ESPN 1000 guys to talk about you, because that's not going to work, and that's too big of a lift, because you have to convincing legacy media to learn about soccer, you need to go towards, I'm just thinking about how they need to turn their marketing around to get someone to pay attention. Yeah. And then when you're good, you need to actually, oh, you're talking about you and me? I thought you meant that's what Chicago should say.
No, look at us.
Yes, Chicago should be doing that.
I'm saying you and me, look at where we work.
Oh.
And how much is talked about the Crew.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like in our shows.
Dude, you're right. And that's something that you and I both, we are soccer fans who have watched the game for decades, and we talk about it when we can, but trying to get that pushed above like Ohio State football is just in this town not going to happen.
Yeah.
In Chicago, you're not going to get conversation of the Fire over the Bears, the Bulls, the Hawks, the Cubs. The White Sox, maybe, but even now, the White Sox are such a disaster. Yeah. Like I'm saying, all those brands are going to get, and if any of them are doing anything noteworthy, they're going to get talked about.
Yeah.
So you have to, that's not where you go. You go to other places to get that. You need to go through like the digital side of things. And then you obviously have to have a team worth talking about.
Yeah.
But
I think that's the big lift, right? It's just refilling your entire squad and your youth academy and just being like, guys, this is a full on, whatever we've been doing for the last decade plus, it's got to change.
Well, but you know what? Look at like LAFC, that team. If you go look at what they had, like they last year when they came in here, they had Chiellini. That's a guy that if he's on your team, and I know now they've got in, why am I blanking?
Giroux.
Olivier Giroux. Like,
who are you gonna say? Claudio Reyna?
No. I wasn't going to say Claudio Reyna, but I was going to say Giroud, and I was like,
his Claudio first, Giroux.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, Olivier Giroux is there, but you have a guy who that's your anchor, selling your jerseys, who can still play. Chiellini last year could absolutely direct your defense and all that. But then they have, you know, guys that are around him
yeah.
that are actually good, that you're like, Denny Bawanga is one of the best scorers in MLS. He's not just some, and he is a name, but he is not the same as the names they've brought in, but he can actually play. And like Cucho is one of those guys for us, right? Where it's like, he can actually get the job done. But when he came over here, it was like, oh, here's this dude from a Premier League level, but a lower Premier League team. He wasn't coming over from Manchester United. And this
lower level Premier League team.
Insert joke here. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like that is the way you win, is by going and getting championship and Premier League level guys that are not necessarily going to sell you as many jerseys when they first arrive, but they will in 2 years when they become one of the best players in the league.
And you also got to put someone around them too.
Well, like,
you think
what I'm
Cucho
saying
would
is,
have his success in Chicago right now?
No. I'm saying you have to build a Columbus. You have to build an LAFC.
It's hard to do.
It is. But you know what? To be fair to Greg, Greg did that here. Yeah. He built a very, I mean, this is a team that had a ton of really good talented players. And they had, if I'm him, I'm pointing to like, see how we had, you know, we had Pipa, we had Federico Higuain. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to go get Gonzalo Higuain to sell jerseys. Although that would have been cool if they had. They had a player who was an MVP candidate, but then they had other dudes around him who could play. If Chicago, they should be able to attract a bigger star to be able to sell some jerseys and get some hype build up. But you need to put a team around that star, and that star needs to fit into what your plan is. It seems like half the time they just go out and say, well, this guy wants to come here, so let's get him, and then that's it. And there's no other thought about how to build it. So that's a big job. Well, and the good news for Greg is if he fails at it, no one's going to blame him because no one's really been able to fix it in the last 15 plus years. They've been awful. So, yeah, but it's ever since the league has changed through its like 18 different iterations, Chicago really hasn't like since the sadly to quote Michael Bradley, they really haven't kept up with the, you know, the pace of the league. They haven't. They're one of those teams that's gotten left behind, and they just happen to be one of the three biggest cities in America. So good job, everyone. Way to go on that. Before we go, do we want to talk Champions League? I know you're really annoyed with it.
I don't like it. I don't like the new format. I found myself on Tuesday and on Wednesday, 3 o'clock. Normally, like if it's your regular group stage games, I'd be locked in. I mean, because there's not like a ton of games going on, whether it be 4, 6 maybe going on concurrently. I don't know the exact number. And now with this new system, I find myself, again, like pretty big soccer fan, like to watch a lot of different games and see what's on. I found myself not caring about these first few match days at all, at all.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I know that they matter, but it's also hard to really get a gauge on it because, you know, all right, well, as long as they finish not in the bottom
eight,
they're going to keep playing. You're right. It has a very negative impact in that way because I'm quite sure there are I know when they say Champions League and throw it on the screen, I'm going to watch to a degree because it's like, oh, there's like,
well, your guys had a nice
Aston win. Villa had a nice win over Young Boys, you know, that they played. And that was like
Lyle Loss got hammered.
I saw that by Sporting
Portugal.
Right. Yeah. Which I found interesting. That was the game that they put on like regular TV. I was surprised.
Was it?
Yeah. That was on. We were watching it in the
Our
studio.
Guys. Nice.
Yeah. Lyle, unfortunately for them, didn't work out. But no, I get what you're saying. When I see Champions League, I'm going to flip it on. But then if you actually are a fan of this, you know that this is such a far way from, like, watching the results of one individual Champions League match now are diminished from what they used to matter.
Yeah.
And again, you could argue I don't know. I was trying to think of a good example. If Manchester City is playing a nothing team in their group stage, yeah, you know that's one you probably can ignore because they're going to win it 3-0 and it's just going to be a walk. But it's still that those matches don't happen as often in that group play. Now you can watch like Manchester City had a tough time with Inter.
Yeah, they drew them 0-0.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like they're both probably going to advance. That game probably doesn't really matter. And I guess you could argue in group stage, in regular group play, there was, you know, the top two teams play each other. They tie. Did that game
at
really
least
matter?
I knew what I was looking at in the old format, though,
yeah,
because I realized like, if you lose your first game, you've got 5 games left to go. And by the way, you got to play this team again.
Yes,
so,
right.
Like,
home and away.
There was always that there, and now I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at, and it drives me nuts that we're in a situation now where it's like, oh, this thing is really good. Everybody really, really likes it. You know what we need? More. Let's do more. Everybody loves the World Cup. You know, we need more teams, more games. Oh, FIFA Club World Cup. We need more teams, more games. It's going to ruin these players, and it has ruined the quality for the most part.
Of course.
I mean, these guys out here, like Bukayo Saka is going to play in like 85 games this year. By the time that you get through all of Arsenal's games and you get through the Club World Cup and then you get back to playing for England, like you look at a Kylian Mbappe or any of these big name guys, I'll be playing 75, 80 games in a year. That's too much. It's too much.
In a way, it does feel like you're throwing hammers at these players for like most of the year.
And then they get paid a good amount of money.
I know.
But I'm saying, as a fan who enjoys the game, take a break.
Well, what I'm saying is the Champions League, and not just the Champions League fault, it's all these matches for these top clubs combined. You are basically now, if your team makes it to like the last four of Champions League, is that because they were one of the best four teams in the world or because they just dodged enough hammers and didn't get hurt? And now you can watch them play soccer when they get to that final four. But like right now, it's like this team looks like the best team in the world. But in a couple months, because of all these matches, they're going to have a bunch of soft tissue injuries, guys missing 3 months at a time.
We're getting way more injuries, like Martin Odegaard going down for Arsenal. It's like that's a huge deal. Sucks for them.
That's a team that has been trying to get over the hump in the Premier League and finally win that thing.
Yeah.
And again, your lift is going up against one of the best rosters ever assembled and the greatest coach arguably ever in the history of the game, possibly. And then because your captain goes down with a regular old soccer injury, it's like, yeah, that's probably cooked their Premier League season. You know what I mean? Like, it would be very tough to imagine them being able to, not because he's their best player, but losing your captain like that for months at a time.
Like City, like De Bruyne went down. It's like, I don't know if he's going to play in this Arsenal match.
Yes, but at least, and even with that, I mean, I know.
But you know what I mean?
Yes,
it's the same.
You're right.
It's the same thing. We're seeing more injuries. We're seeing longer time that they're out. I mean, even in MLS, like Campione's Cup, Leagues Cup.
Yeah.
Leagues Cup. We won that. We were thrilled that we won Leagues Cup. You and I both hate the idea of that.
Oh, yeah. I'm anti that. That it shouldn't exist. It's stupid. It's putting too much miles on these guys' legs. And I'm glad right now that nothing's happened with that yet. But just wait. Hold your breath. Like, I'm just saying, if your team makes it through all that and gets to like a final or is in the top eight or top four, that is because they got lucky. Not from they're talented, but there probably were at least a couple teams that were better than them, but they had bad injuries and not just one or two random freak things, usage injuries, guys over time just being worn down.
Yeah.
And that's, so if you want to say, well, my team's just better, they were able to withstand the injuries they had.
That's great.
Yeah, but that also happens because you could just buy better players. That's why Real Madrid's, I like guarantee you Real Madrid's going to be one of the top four teams left in this tournament.
Yeah.
Right? Why not? They have Kylian Mbappe. They have Vinny. Like that. When you see their guys just standing there, you're like,
yeah,
there's too many dudes that they're not. I mean, my God.
To be fair to them, they've always kind of been that.
I know this, but that's what I'm saying is that's the only way you can win it. How are you going to win that if you're not one of those teams that has a bajillion players that are all like, and again, how many teams can do that? Manchester City, Real Madrid, and then whatever team decides to go all in this winter window, maybe. There's your three, and then just some rando team that'll get there and get
Dortmund
blown out.
Dortmund was in the final last year.
Yeah, Dortmund was with that. That was a nice run for them, and they probably will not make it back.
No.
They will probably get destroyed.
It's the same thing with college football. I mean, we're getting more just shoved in our face. It's too much. We're doing too much.
I agree. You know what I say? Let's play 5 soccer games a year. And they're really important. But then that's it. I'm just kidding. But yes, of course, there's got to be a healthy balance in between 85 and 5.
Everything shoved down my gullet.
I know, man.
I don't need it.
Every 5 seconds, it's like, look over here now. There's more soccer. And it's like, but does it matter?
We watch so much soccer.
I love soccer.
I don't know what half of these games are I'm watching.
Man. I know. I feel like this makes us sound so old, though,
old.
I don't even know what game they're playing now. Like,
game's gone.
Yeah, right.
Game's gone.
I know. Former AC Milan striker Zlatan Ibrahimovic was discussing the executive role he holds at the Italian club before their Champions League defeat to Liverpool on Tuesday.
I'm the boss.
Which, by the way, Christian Pulisic scored a goal. Or, I'm sorry, I said Inter. That's Hang
AC
on.
Milan.
Yes,
Inter, AC. Inter, Mi- no, Inter Miami tied Manchester City.
Good job. Yes, Christian Pulisic scored for AC Milan. That's what I was trying to say. Did he not?
Yes.
Or did he have an assist?
He scored.
Whatever he did. He did something that they lost. Anyway, so Redbird Capital, who owns AC Milan, they announced that he had joined as an operating partner and senior advisor of the club back in 2023, December of last year. He was asked to clarify his role by Sky Sport. Ibrahimovic, by the way, 42 years old, just like me. Same age.
Basically the same person.
Pretty much the same person. It's like looking in a mirror. He said, I am the boss and I am in charge.
This is what you think when you leave the radio station.
That's right.
You have a sick day. This is your exact thoughts.
He said, I am the boss and I am in charge. All the others work for me.
I love it.
And then he said, there was a question about the criticism of his work from former club director Zvonimir Boban. He said, when the lion goes away, the kittens arrive. When the lions come back, the kittens disappear. The level is very low. There's too much talk, but I only think about working. I was away for personal reasons, but I have been here since day one. He then spoke about their transfer business. He said, it went exactly as we wanted. He said, everything we looked for and was missing, we got. The last one was Tammy Abraham to bring an excellent reinforcement in attack. So he says they're great. He's a lion. They're all. Now, I'm sure when he said the first one, he's smiling, but
I couldn't love him anymore. He's just
done
the whole shtick his entire career.
That's
just who he is.
I know. It's without a doubt perhaps one of the greatest characters that's ever been created in the world of theater, and yet he is a real person who I think like 70% of the time kind of believes this stuff. Like, I know there's 30, like talking with Lampson, Matt Lampson, our guy, former crew keeper who went on vacation with him, said there's a time where he kind of, you know, that's obviously he's out there, he's doing this for public appearance, right? But there's some of it that he genuinely thinks, but then there's a time where he lets it down and is like, yeah, okay, this isn't really who
I am. This is, let me sign a LeBron jersey and send it back to him.
Like that
was an all-timer. I loved that story.
Well, tell that one, because I don't know if everyone's heard that
one. All right,
one.
So LeBron, you know, when he played for LA, he played for the Galaxy.
Yeah.
You know, they would give jerseys and all kinds of stuff. So LeBron had sent him, like, a signed jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know what the message was or what, but like sent Zlatan a signed jersey. He goes, well, I'm the king. I signed it, sent it back. Like that's I love it.
I mean, it's so good. It's the fact that LeBron sends, I didn't know if it was he bought the jersey and sent it to him, but no, LeBron sent him one
that was signed.
Like, I don't need your signed jersey. You need mine.
You need my jersey.
Jersey that, of you.
Of you.
I sign your jersey and send it back to you. Dude, if I'm LeBron, I look at that and go like, all right, that's pretty
that's
baller. I'm putting that right
one's,
up.
Yes. That one's going next.
That's one of my favorite jerseys of all time, if that happens.
How could it not be?
Oh, my God.
I mean, the full-page ad in the LA Times, you're welcome. Like, it's just
it's so good. Well, yeah, it's if you've never watched Moana with The Rock voicing Maui, the
what
character
can
Maui.
I say except you're welcome.
Right, but like that character, the whole thing about him is like he's so arrogant.
Yeah.
It's almost
he's
like
a demigod.
Right. That is who we're actually dealing with in Zlatan Ibrahimovic. That's how he feels, and I love it. And I can't believe this is a real thing. I hope we get quotes from him all the time.
Agreed. Love him.
All right, that's it for us. Thank you for listening. We will see you guys next week, hopefully talking about another trophy for the Columbus Crew. Yeah. We'll find out. That's all next week. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.